plate a potential nugget.
Let's start with M, mindful alertness. One of the things I really liked in the way you sort of describe it is you say that leadership is a three-dimensional challenge, and you sort of lay out the three different dimensions around which we need to be mindfully alert. So could you sort of expand on that for the listeners?
Sure. So I think all of us are exposed to one or two dimensional leaders. So they are the people who are incredibly results oriented and hit every target, but that comes at the expense of their people. We all know people who are wonderful servant leaders who care deeply about unlocking others' potential, but they find it hard to establish boundaries to hold other people accountable. And then we also know these great individual contributors or subject matter experts who are, you know, individually brilliant, but they actually can't relate to other humans. So those are all one-dimensional leaders, and they all fail in terms of being extraordinary. So we think that to literally be a whole person, a whole leader, someone who has the potential to be extraordinary, you need to be three-dimensional. So the first dimension is the external dimension, which is what is it that you want or need to accomplish? And that could be a financial target to hit. It could be a decision to make. It could be a merger to complete. It could be a culture to implement. But it's like, what is it that you're focused on doing? What do you want to accomplish? The second dimension is the inner dimension, which is, okay, we're clear on our goals. But who do you want to be as a human, as a person, while you're doing this? So do you want to be a leader who is patient, a listener, who has perspective, who's fair, who's inclusive? Like, what are the kind of character strengths and traits that you want to cultivate and project as a leader? And then the third dimension is, you know, once you're clear on what you want to get done and who you want to be, the third dimension is how can you best relate to other people so that you can achieve goals through them and achieve goals together. So for us, it's everyone knows the golden rule, which is I will treat you the way I want to be treated. And I can tell you in my own case, that works for a very small subset of the population because I like to get the news direct and not everybody does. So for us, it's more the platinum rule, which is, we want to relate to people in a way that they want and need to be related to so that they can receive what we have to say and we can work together. So that's kind of the three dimensions. And Carol's got some examples if that's helpful too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
So the first one is, first of all, it can seem obvious what you are supposed to do. Like, you know, you go in, two examples is one is you walk into a team meeting, you're got to make a big decision. And so clearly your goal in the meeting is to make a decision. Well, what if that's not correct? And the actual goal is to create psychological safety so the team can have a good conversation or, you know, to create a divergent thinking, et cetera. Mm. So one of the, like, sort of in terms of the quick tip, it's like you walk into the room, see a bunch of people at the table, you're about to launch in, quickly ask yourself, what do I actually need to do? What's the most important thing? Like, am I right? Mm. That's okay. So what do I need to do? Then who do I want to be? And we sort of shorten that up to who do I want to be right now? Mm. And, you know, and the bigger identity of who do I want to be, we actually have a number of like starter questions in the book for that. But it's who do I want to be right now? And one example is, talked about that with one of our CEOs who we suggested, and by the way, every single person, including you, I'd like to challenge you to do this, like today, tomorrow, ask yourself, who do I want to be right now at every meeting? And then at every moment when you're annoyed. So you're at a store, there's the cashier in front of you who is talking and talking to someone about their vacation and you're in a hurry. Okay. And just as about, you know, you want to say like, excuse me, or explode, or just feel really frustrated. Just say, who do I want to be right now? Now, the answer isn't I need to be a nice person, but for you to have that choice of who do I want to be right now. And this one woman, CEO of a major tech company, asked herself that before every meeting. This was during COVID, the 16th meeting of the day. She's like, I just want to go home. And, you know, going to the next meeting, she asked herself, who do I want to be right now? And that opened up the way for her to think, wait a minute, the most, like the least important meeting of my day or of my week is the most important meeting of theirs. And then she then opened up and a different her showed up. Like, who do I want to be? Do I want to be that bored person who phones it in and everybody can tell? Because leadership is often what you emanate more than you say. So that's that one. And then I think the, you know, how do you want to relate? I think David's example of the platinum rule is really just perfect. But the whole point is to make space for choice, for conscious choice.
And in your experience working with leaders, you know, in terms of, you know, sort of the knowing doing gap, is do they, you know, of the three, is there one or two where they find it harder in terms of practicing it and bringing it to life?
So one of the things that we urge people to do, because there's so much content in the book and in the MOVE model, is that you don't have to apply the whole thing in sequence. Depending on what you're facing, one part of the model could actually unlock you. So for example, if you did a quick scan of like, what's going on with me right now in a major leadership challenge that I'm facing, you could just ask yourself, am I really clear on those three dimensions? Do I really know what the goals are? And if you are, that's great. If you're not, that's a great place to get started, because actually naming in as consciously and as fully as you can what your goals are is actually really helpful in order to set up the achievement of those goals and to make every moment count as a leader, because that's what our book is all about, making every moment count. And that's sometimes depending on your reflexes, but often it's transcending your reflexes so that you can face something new or something good or something dangerous. So the other thing is, sometimes we're stuck in the way forward. So if you're stuck, then you go to the options generator to figure out practical ways to find four or more ways to win. Another thing that's really good, particularly if you're in new situations, like a big new job, for example, or just a new environment with new people, is to really check your vantage point and make sure, like, am I seeing reality for what it is? Or am I kind of discounting or exaggerating threats or opportunities? Or am I even just missing the point? And then the last thing is, if you're kind of stuck in achieving alignment on your direction with your team or with your organization, then you go into E and sort of focus on engage and affect change. So there's different ways that you can kind of unlock, and everybody's got a different situation.
I love the point David makes about the distinction between the golden rule and the platinum rule. We need to tune into what will move the people around us. Treat others like the way we want to be treated is arguably flawed because people around us are not like us. I also like the insight they have around the fact that we have a choice around who we want to be in crucial moments. Very often we think about the solution space in the to-do plane, but very often we miss out on the opportunities in the to-be plane. I'm reminded of an insight from Rajiv Vij, author of Inside Out Leadership. He talks about the notion of how we can be deliberate about a to-be list instead of a to-do list.
So one of the things I tell people is, you know, walk into the office, sometimes throw your things to do list and replace it with a things to be list. You decide the kind of person, the kind of leader you want to be, and try it for a week or two. And every day say, what kind of a person or a leader I want to be, and try being that way. And you'll be surprised how the doing will take care of itself. So for example, if you were to tell yourself, you know what, I'm going to be just more mindful as a leader, or I'm going to be more courageous, or I'm going to be more empowering, I'm going to be more strategic, or even in our personal life, I'm going to be more loving to my family, right? Rather than saying, I want to spend more time with my children, because you may spend more time, but if you are getting upset with them every 20 minutes, I don't know how good that quality of time was. You know, if you say I'm going to be more loving and more encouraging, more reassuring, or whatever is your need, that then you spend even 10 minutes instead of that 45 minutes, but they were loving moments. They'll be better spent than simply just, you know, the doing part.
I find that ticking off the to-do list leads to P&L outcomes, while working on the to-be list drives balance sheet outcomes. Let me share a personal anecdote in this context. It's not quite a high-stakes leadership situation, but still a moment where I felt taking a pause made all the difference. I was at a toy shop looking to buy a gift for a birthday party that my son was going to attend. My son and I were the only customers in the shop, and in the shop were a father-daughter combination. The father was somebody who didn't go to school. He was busy playing Candy Crush, and the business was the only thing he knew. And the daughter was engaging with me and my son, helping us pick the right gift. As we were going through the various options, suddenly she paused and hesitatingly asked me. She said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" I was a little surprised, but I said, "Go on." She went on to speak about the fact that she was a graduate in commerce and she was evaluating an MBA program, which was structured as 1 year in India and 1 year in the US. And she just wanted to know if it made sense to do it. My instinct was to quickly brush this aside, to say, "Sorry, I don't have a clue," and move on with my agenda, which was to pick a gift. I don't know what came upon me. I just paused and asked myself the question, who do I want to be in this moment? If my mission is to help people play to their potential, am I showing up in line with my mission in this moment? I think that brief pause got me to reflect and say, while I may not be the right person to guide her, I might know a couple of people who could guide her. So I shared their email IDs with this girl and spoke to her as she was gift wrapping our present to share a few additional perspectives. This is work in progress for me, and I'm sure there are many moments where I miss taking a pause. But I just realized that pausing and asking who do I want to be in this moment to be really powerful. I'm trying to do this more and more as I move forward with my life. Thank you for listening.